On Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we started the sugya of Abayin Rava in terms of a Carmelist in a case where he stretches his hand and his head out to drink from another Rishus, whether it be Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid. Is that included in the Issa D'Rabbana? And Abayin says it was, and Rava objected because he said that would be a Gzera. And Abaye proved his case from the Mishnah in Erevin, which says, V'chein begat. And we understood that what was got? If it was Rishus HaYochid, then we've already learnt it. And if it's Rishus HaRabim, we've already learnt it. El Lav, it must be a case of a Carmelis. And yet, the Mishnah says it's Asur. So this is a source for Abaye. And we're up to Rava Amar. Rava is now going to reject this raya from the Mishnah of Achein Begat by reinterpreting the Mishnah. This is about six lines down from the top. Rava Amar Achein Begat Le'inyan Maaser. The subject of this part of the Mishnah, these two words, Achein Begat, has nothing to do with Shabbos, but rather has to do with Maaser. And as we indicated in the last shiur, Maaser is an issue of what we call Achilas Aroy, or Shtias Aroy, which means that with regard to masros, those are fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael, they're not chayav in maser until gemar malachtam, when he finishes the last malach preparing them and he brings them into the bayis. Every single fruit, every single grain has its own gemar malach, and these are mishnayis in the first perek of masros. Before gemar malach, it's mutter to eat them derech haroy, below li'aser, but derech kva is awesome in rabbanon, even though it's before Gemara Malach. Now he's got Yayin in the Gat. This was the gigantic kli that was used in order to take the grapes and crush them in order to get the wine in. And now the Mishnah says the following. Shosim ala Gat. You're allowed to drink the wine by stretching your head into the Gat without taking the wine out of the Gat. Bein alachamin, bein alatzonin. It matters not whether he mixed the wine with hot water or with cold water. Even if he mixes it with hot water in a way that if there's leftover wine, he cannot put it back into the gut, so it seems like he's permanently removing it from the gut, it's still considered a shtias aroy upotter, and he's potter from maser because it's before the gemar malach. The gemar malacha will only be after the yayin runs down through the gat into a gigantic vat underground, and that's when this gemar malach. So here's before gemar malach, and you're allowed to drink it derech aroy without being mafrish maaser. That's the way Rashi interprets the sugya. The Meiri has in the name of Yesh Mefarshim that chamin here does not mean that he's mixing the chamin with the concentrated water, but rather it means that he's drinking his wine in a meal, in a suda, in which he's eating hot food. And when you eat a regular meal, a full-fledged meal with hot food, usually you drink derech keva. You take wine and drink it with it. Tzonein means that he drinks the wine in a not such a full meal, a suda. It's a meal of tzonein. There are no hot foods on the table. It's not usual to drink yayin derech keva. And as we said before, the gat is this gigantic vessel. In the bottom of that vessel, that's where they do the dricha to crush the grapes and make it into wine. And from the wine goes out through the gat into a bar, and then it's considered gemar malach. Now, again, if he takes the wine out of the gat and he drinks it, that's called derech keva. Now, the question is, should we be worried that if we allow him to stand and stretch his head out and drink the wine in the gat, that he might come to remove some of the wine outside the gat and drink it before he was mafrish maaser? Well, Rabbi Meir says we're not worried about that. But Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Tzadik Mechayev, he says you have to be mafrish maaser. Why? Because once you mix the water and the wine together, that already gives it a chashivus. And when you drink it, that shtia is considered derech keva, and you're chayev in maaser. Chachomim omrim alachamin chayev alatzonin potter. Nidneishu maaser samosar. if he does the meziga and he dilutes the concentrated wine with hot water in such a way that the heat of the water starts the process of what we call chimutz, or fermentation of the wine, then if, let's say, after he drinks some of the wine, he has leftover wine in his cup, he will not return that cup, that surplus wine, the leftover wine, back into the gat. So that would make it into a shtia kvua, which is also even before gemar malacha, in the case of tevel amaser. However, if he dilutes the wine with cold water, that's considered a shtia saroi, because the wine is not permanently removed from the gat, because he's still going to replace it into the gat. If he has any leftover wine, the process of fermentation of shall we say, mahachmatzos hayayin has not begun when he mixes it with cold water. In any event, according to this interpretation, Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah in Erevin of Ishchein Begat, it means that we're talking about being mater, drinking from the gat, without being mafresh maaser, and the issue is whether or not there's a gzera that if he stands outside of the gat, but he's drinking by leaning his head out, you know, over into the gat, should we be worried about the possibility that he'll take out some of the wine from the gat, and that would make it into a shtias keva? So that's the machlokas here, three-way machlokas between the Chachomim, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadik, and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir allows it in all cases, even if he mixes the wine with hot water. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadik prohibits it even if he mixes the wine with cold water. Once he does a meziga, that is considered a yayin chashu with a shtia of keva. And according to the Chacham, we have a middle compromise sheet, that if he mixes it with cold water, that's okay, because he's not really permanently removing it from the gat. But if he mixes it with hot water, that's considered a kind of shtia kvua, and it's asur, even though it's before gemar malacha. In a certain sense, this Mishnah of Achein Begat, the way Rav is interpreting it, is very similar to the beginning of this Mishnah with regard to Shabbos, that we need what's called Rubo Bagat. You know, just like in the case of Hotzah, when we said that he bends his head to drink from a Rishus HaYachid, so that's not acceptable, because he may take the kli back into Rishus HaRabim, or the other way around. But if he moves his entire body, or Rov Gufo, as a heker, then we're not afraid that he'll forget the fact that he's not allowed to take the kli back into the other Rishus. And the similar parallel idea applies here in the case of Shtia Menagat, which is a Shtia of Derech HaRoy. It becomes perhaps Derech Keva, according to two out of the three Shitas in the Mishnah, unless he moves his entire body or most of his body into the gat, and that would be a heker. Rav Kiveger asks the following kasha. Even if he drinks a shtia kvua, since it's before gemar malacha, then it's only maximum an isad rabbana. Now you're afraid that he might take wine out of the gat when he's drinking in the gat, and it might become a shtias keva. Well, even in the worst case scenario, if he does so, he will only violate an iser derabbanon, since it's before gemar malacha. So isn't this a gzera l'gzera? And the Sfasemes offers the following answer based on the Rash in Masros. This is not a gzera that we're afraid he might take his head out chutz l'gat, but rather the Chachamim weren't matir him to drink unless he drinks inside the gat. And if Rosho Verubo are in the gat, I should say, unless Rosho Verubo are inside the gat, it's not considered Shtia Al Hagat. Now we have a Mishnah that we studied earlier here in Masechta Shabbos, Lo Yetzei Achayit B'machto Somach L'Chashecha Shem Yishkach V'Yetzei. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that the Chayat, this tailor, takes a needle and he shoves it, he pokes it into his beged, and he carries it out, and it's somach l'shchashecha, it's not dark yet at night, so it's not yet Shabbos, and yet the Mishnah prohibits it. My love, the tchuvalo bibigdo. If it's tchuvalo bibigdo, then this is not called derech otsa. And even if he carries it out, it's only an isud rabbanon. And I would tell you on erev Shabbos, somach lechashech it's asur. This should be a gzera otu an isud rabbanon. You're afraid that maybe he would carry the the machat, and he'll do so during Shabbos itself. That's a double gzerah. So this is a kash on Rava, because Rava says that there's no double gzerah in our Mishnah, and therefore he's matir in the case of Carmelis. Lo, the Gemara rejects it. We're not talking, as you interpreted the Mishnah, as a case of tchuva bebigdo, but the nokit lay biyodeh, that the chayat is holding the needle in his hand, and that's what's asur. He's not allowed to go at some chashecha, because in that very situation, if it's after nightfall, he would violate an iser hotza d'oraisa. So the gzera here is otu d'oraisa. Now, let's try to understand the makshan over here. Assume that this Mishnah was talking about a case of tchuva lo bebigdo. Well, why does he make that assumption? If you take a look here at the Tosfos and other Rishonim, they say, "Harei gam hu yodea." Even the makshan knows shema ochso biyodo osalotziv b'shabbos min haTorah. As Rava answered, the Makshin should have interpreted that way instead of asking Akasha. In other words, it was very clear to everyone that we don't know exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. Was it the case that they asked him because he's holding in his hand, or it's a tuvel of a big dough? But the fact that the Makshin used the language, my love, it would seem that he himself vacillated back and forth. He didn't know exactly what the pshat in the Mishnah was. Why didn't he interpret the Mishnah the way that Rava would interpret the Mishnah that we're talking about? Ochas obiyado. So in one of the Achronim says that the Makshin wants to say that, look, since there's a brisa, and we're going to ask Akasha later on for this brisa in any event, so in terms of what's explicit in the brisa, and the brisa is going to say, lo yetze achayit b'machto, so we should interpret our Mishnah the same way the Braisa interprets it. That's even in a case, it's also even in a case of Tchuvalo Bebigdo. Lo says Rava, no. The case of our Mishnah is the Nakitle Biyode. The only thing that's us is when he's holding his hand Toshma, but what are we going to do with the Braisa? The Braisa says, Lo Yetze Achayet Bemachto, Tchuvalo Bebigdo. So it says explicitly in the Braisa that the machad is pierced into his garment. So now we have a case of exer, because if we're talking on Erev Shabbos, and you're asking it, even though in the worst case scenario, if it would have been Shabbos, it would still only be exerah derabbanan, because it's not derech otzavakach. My love, the Erev Shabbos, lo. Rava's going to answer that this price is talking about on Shabbos. Ki tanya ahi b'Shabbos, Shabbos itself. And the Chacham were interested in enacting a single gzerah, that on Shabbos he should not walk around with the needle inside his beged, chuva b'bigdo, because he might carry it on Shabbos in his hand. So from chuva lo b'bigdo we have a gzerah otu, ochezo b'yado. And if it's Ochas Obiyadah, since it's Shabbos itself, he will violate an Iser Torah. Here we have a little bit of a problem here, because even if he carries it with his hand, if he doesn't need it, in other words, he inadvertently will walk out with the Tchuvah of Abigdo on Shabbos. Well, he's not using the needle. I mean, obviously, we're not talking about, you know, someone who violates the Shabbos with Melechus Tofer. If he doesn't need the needle, then it should be a Melech Shein Tzrich Legufo, which according to Rav Shimon, as we paskin, is only an Issa the Rabbanu Patav al Asr. So, once again, it's a Gzera L'Gzera. But it would seem that the answer to this question is that a Melech Shein Tzrich Legufo is considered Midrabbanu, according to Rav Shimon, a Melecha Drabbanu. And all the Dinim of Melecha and all the gzeros to avoid such a violation of malacha would apply to a malacha shein etzricha legufa. That could be one approach. However, the Sfasemis says that we could say the Bryce is talking about Erev Shabbos, as the Maskonis HaGvor is going to be, and it reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that an Uman, which we're going to get into soon, is Motzi Derechum Noso Nischayev. So therefore, even if the Machir is Tchuva Bebigdo, he's Chayev on Shabbos, because Tzarech LaHaros LaRabim Sha'osik B'Menoso Zu. In other words, this was a sign of the Umnus, you know, just like every worker would have some sort of a sign, the way he dresses and so forth, to indicate so that people will hire him for the job. This was his sign, the fact that he put the machen in that way. That's called a malacha hatzricha leguf, and it's asura min ha-Torah. Now, in terms of the status or the definition of malacha hatzricha leguf, you have to check the sugya in Perek Vamem Adlikin in Shabbos Chof Tes, about whether or not you're allowed to be mechabes haner b'shvil acholah sheyishan, if it's a acholah shein bo sakana, and kibri haner is considered mloch shein tzuricha legufa, is it mutter b'makom choli? There seems to be another sugi that comes to the opposite conclusion in the case of lahafis mursa and shmona shrotz and perik in adaf kuv zayin amid beis, that you're allowed to be mafis mursa if it's only lahotzi men alecha, but not lasus lepesach, if it's b'makom tsar, and that's a malach shen tzrich legufa. But in any event, if the sugya in Vamev Adlikin is the main sugya, and malach shen tzrich legufa is asur for a chole, that could be that malach shen tzrich legufa is not just a gzera, because there are many gzeras on Shabbos that were lifted for the sake of a chole, but rather it's a malacha derabanan. And that you'll see discussed in the Eretz HaTzvi article that I mentioned to you on page Nun, Beis, and Ayin Shom. In any event, now we have a... let's just review that the Braisa of Lo Yetze Achai Pemachto Tchuva Lo Bevigdo, according to Rava, that's only on Shabbos itself. Now the Gemara asks the Kashva, Tanya, Lo Yetze Achai Pemachto Tchuva Bevigdo Be Erev Shabbos Simcha Sheicha. So it's explicit in this Braisa that number one, it's Tchuva Lo Bevigdo. Number two, it's on Erev Shabbos. And this is explicitly a gzera l'gzera. How's Rava going to deal with this Braisa? And he answers, Homani Rabbi Yehudahi, this is Rabbi Yehudah who holds the Omar, Uman Derech Umnoso Chayev. That although for you and I, Hotzah of a Machat, which is Tuvilo Bebigdo, would be Ein Derech Hotzah Bekach, would only be a Drabonon, but for an Uman, a Chayev, this is the way he carries his Machat. Perhaps it's Darko Bekach because that's where he announces his profession. Therefore, if he would be Chayev now, if he would walk out into Rishus HaYochid, the Rabbanim made a gzera that he shouldn't walk around Somach L'Chashecha. We could go back to Somach L'Chashecha because if you take a look at this price, it says Im Chashecha, which means Somach L'Chashecha. If it would have been Chashecha, he would be Chayev Hotzah in this case. So this exactly scenario, if we've been a half hour later, he would be chayev for Melech HaDoraisa. So there's only one gzera. The Sanya, we learned to the Raisa, Lo Yetze HaChayet Peshavis, Mishaseyoch, Mishaserab, Memachto, Atchuvelo, Bebigdo, Velo. Also, the same din applies to a Nagar Bekesam. And we're talking about a carpenter who has a sargel, you know, some sort of an instrument that he uses to measure things, and he puts it sheba ozno, he puts it over his ear, that's how he carries it, and he's not allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos, because he might carry this on Shabbos, and he'd be chayav on Shabbos. And the sargel, he says, shemesartetim bo, okay, it's not the way I thought, it was more of a measuring stick, he says here. It's used for sirtu, to make lines, and that's where the Nagar measures out his boards to make sure that each one is the same size, the same length. He makes a sima with a kav. That's called a sirtu that he does with a sargel, but he places this sargel between his ear and his head, right in that spot over there. Another example would be lo yetzei hasorek. A sorek is a person who takes different natural wools and so on and so on. And what he does is he combs them in order to remove impurities, knots, and so forth and so on. And what does he do when he how does he carry his sorek, his comb, is be'ozno, sorek b'meshicha sheba'ozno, v'lo yetze gardi is some sort of weaver, be'ira, which is a tzemer sheba'ozno, again he carries it in his ear, what tzeme gefen. So that's the derech ha'oreg limtoach es chut ha'shesi b'chli eitz ha'miyucha la'riga v'yemagalgel es chut ha'orev, which is the rochav, b'toch ha'kone v'sosem es pi ha'kone v'tzemer or v'tzeren gefen k'dei shlo yetzei kol chut ha'orev l'chutz u'masher nekev katon sh'yetzei rakze ha'chut sh'tzorech ha'achnis b'ha'riga v'yezorikas ha'kone v'in chutei ha'shesi eilech v'eilech u'bizrikoso yotzei chut ha'orev ad sh'yehei ha'beged oruk. So again, the general rule is regarding all the above, that they use it and carry it in a very specific way. It's an unusual way for us, but it's not unusual for those bali malacha, for those professionals. For example, lot saba, a dyer bidugma, in order to bring examples of different colors. So what he does is he has a piece of tzemer, a large piece. He dyes each, you know, different strips or parts of the tzemer in a different color. Shevetzavoni, and he wraps it around his neck, and that's the way he shows it. He displays it for his clients to see which color they want to choose for their paint job. Veloa shulchani, a person who is a professional money changer. Bedinar sheba ozno. Again, once again, he has a coin that he keeps tucked into his ear, and he carries it around. And this is the way he always carries it around. Not him, but all the umnin that we discussed here in this brisa. Im yotza potter, according to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, he's potter, because it's only an Issur Rabbanan, because no one else would carry it in this way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Although you and I would be potter, but an uman would be chayef. The uman is motzi derech umnaso, this is the way he carries it. And therefore he's chayef. So we have a subjective definition of derech hotzah, that if for a profession, a certain profession, we'll call it nagar, we'll call it a chayet, whatever it might be, they will consistently carry it in this way. For them, that's considered derech hotzah. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be chayev achatos if you did this and you belong to that profession. Shar kol adam potter. And another person, for him, would be shlo kider chotza, and he'd be potter. So now we have a brisa that says, lo yetze achayt b'machto atchuv b'bigdo b'erv Shabbos imchayat imchashecha. And that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that in this very scenario, had it been after dark and it would be Shabbos, he would be violating an isur chatos, because it's derech chotza for his umnus, derech umnaso bekach. That's the way Rav interprets this brisa. Now, according to Abaye, the din of shelo yetze chayet imachto b'erev Shabbos would apply even erev Shabbos, even b'machar atchuva b'bigdo, and even though if he would go out on Shabbos in that way, he would only violate nisa d'abonin and not nisa Torah. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Or according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's not yotzi derchum naso, and it's ein darko lahotziya b'ofen hazeh, so it's not a hotzah kedarko, and he would maximum violate an isur d'rabbanan. Nevertheless, gozru chachamim mechashash shema yavar al isur d'rabbanan of shalo kedarko. And shalo kedarko really undermines what we call meleches machsheves. We haven't gotten a chance to discuss meleches machsheves because we really didn't get into melachas yet. So that's the way Abai would interpret this, that we're worried on Erev Shabbos that he might carry it on Shabbos itself, even though it's tchuva b'bigdo, and had he violated the Shabbos in that way, it would only be, in the worst case scenario, violation of an Iser Derabbanan. Rav, on the other hand, holds that according to Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah that says you're not allowed to walk out with it, it's only Lotzeis Im HaMachat Kshi B'yado, when he's carrying the Machat. Which means that if he would violate it on Shabbos itself, he would violate an Iser Malacha Doraisa. So the Chacham said, don't go out like that on Erev Shabbos holding the Machat in your hand. According to Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, he could be Toche, even in a case where he's Toche V'bigdo, it's Aser on Erev Shabbos, because we're talking about an Uman, and it's Derech Umnaso, and therefore he'd be Chayev for that Hotzah. For him, it's Derech Hotzah V'kah. Now we have a stira between two brisos regarding a Zav, or specifically the kiss of a Zav. The kiss is a kind of a pouch in which the Ziva will, this liquid would fall into the kiss, and that's the way the Zav would check himself and investigate to see whether he is a Zav. Does he have a Re'io? We'll have to see if it's one of the first three Re'ios or it's beyond that, or maybe it's during the Zaynikiyim and he wants to check to make sure that it's a Yom Noki. So one Braisa, Toni Chada, Lo Yetze HaZav B'Kiso, if the Zav walks out in Rishus HaRabim with his pouch attached to him, and that's for the purpose of receiving any droplets of Ziva, so this Braisa says Yatzah Potter, even though he's not allowed to do this L'chatchila, but it's Potter Avalos, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, he would not be Chayev a Korban Chatas in this case. Tanya Edith, the other Brisa, says Lo Yetze Vim Yotza Chayev Chatas. How do we reconcile these two Brisas? So here we're going to have a machlokas between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Omer Rav Yosef Lo Kasha Ha Rabbi Meir Vaha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir would certainly say he's Potter. This is not Derech Hotza to wrap a kiss around your body and carry it. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's such a thing as subjective categories of Derech Hotzah, like we saw in the case of an Uman. It might be Derech Hotzah in a way which would, for you and I, would not be Derech Hotzah. We'd be Poti, be Chayv. And here for the Zav, this is his Derech Hotzah. And that's the way he would walk out even during Chol in order to check himself. Abai doesn't like this. Omale Abai, Rabbi turns to Rabbi Yosef, says, Eimor deshamet le Rabbi Meir b'midi delav hainu urche. You're right. Rabbi Meir, as a general rule, says that we look at Hotzod objectively, and there's something called Ein Darko Bekach. And all those cases in the Braisa that we mentioned before about an Uman, even though for the Uman it might be his Derech, but it's not a Derech for anyone else, and therefore no one's going to be Chai, but what happens in a case of the midu dehainu urche mishamitle? An adam, a person whose derech hotzah is in that way, because he is a zav, and he's yotzei im kiso. Did we hear that Rav Meir says he's potter in that case? So again, if you're talking about an unusual kind of hotzah for an uman, so then we know that Rav Meir would say that an uman is doing this shalo kederech hotzah. This is not his derech hotzah. Again, he wants to notify the public and demonstrate that he is that uman. He belongs to that guild. You know, he wears that cloak. But that's not derech hotzah, says Rabbi Meir. That's not derech hotzah. But what would you do with a kiss if you wanted to test out whether you were zav or not? You really have no choice but to tie it around your body in such a way that the ziva will fall into the pouch. In such a case, that becomes derech hotzah, even according to Rabbi Meir. Dilo tema hachi, Abai argues, I'm going to prove to you that what I say is true. If you're not going to agree to me that Rabbi Meir also has a case of derech hotzah, when it's impossible to do it otherwise, then what are you going to tell me? Rabbi Meir says that if it's not derech hotzah for shara noshim, then you're potter, even a person for whom it's kedar kol me'ata. I'm going to ask you the fine question. Hejot shechok hakav bebakas b'shabbos Rabbi Meir hachinami delo machayev. A professional an Uman, who would take a piece of wood and he would be chokek. Chokek means to dig in, you know, to make indentations. And for an Uman, the general way of doing this chakak is to come up with a certain shear of what's called shlosha kabin. So let's say I'm not an Uman, and therefore I don't have the capacity, the capability of digging with this chakak something that would hold a volume of 3 kabim. I can only do 1 kab, so Ramey is going to say I'm potter. Why am I potter? That's not the derech hakik of the umnan. But I'm not an uman. So even though the derech uman is to be chokek shlosha kabim, I'm not an uman. So you're going to tell me, well, if I'm not an uman, I'm not chayv achatas for what I consider is the tikkun kli, the maximum that I'm able to do. We'll call it meleches makabatish, if you like. So Rav Meir is going to come to the following conclusion, that the only person who would be chayv for chakikas bakas would only be an uman who digs in 3 kabim's worth. But everybody else is going to be potter because they don't know, they don't have the ability to make such a beautiful kli. Right, for the uman, it's not worth of him to waste his time with a kav, he needs 3 kabim. So for me, well, this is the best I can do, and I would settle and be more than happy with 1 kav, but no, Rav Meir is going to say I'm potter because it's... You know, it's not the way the real McCoy Chakika Bevakas is done. So every hedgehog now is going to turn out to be potter, even though he's doing a full malacha. Now that's an untenable position. You can't say that a hedgehog is going to be potter because he can't do this malacha. No, it has to be that he does the maximum that he can do. And the hedgehog, if he's chokek 1 kav, that's what he could do. That's derech hakikoso. He's not a baki in chakika, so he can't do 3 kab, he can only do 1 kab. The same thing is in the case of a zav, says Abai. How does the zav manage to check himself out? He needs hotzas kiss. Well, the way that you walk out with this kiss is by tying it around that part of your body in order to collect the droplets that might fall out of your that part of the body. And that's exactly what anyone would do if he was a zav. Now let's just quickly review the case of a zav. A zav who sees one time, he has one re'iyah of ziva, he becomes what's called tavi tumas erev. That means he immediately goes to the mikveh, and with harif shimsho he becomes tahar. That's a mishnah at the beginning of zavin. If he sees 2 re'iyos, whether it's on the same day or 2 consecutive days, he becomes Tomei Shivas Yomim. And now he has to count Zayinikiyim, 7 days where he doesn't see any Ziva, and then he's Tovel on the 7th day. If he sees 3 days of Re'iyah consecutively, or alternatively on 1 day itself, then in such a case, he's considered Ra'a Shalosh Re'iyos, Bein V'yom Echa, Bein V'shalosh Yomim. He's Dino Kizav Bal Shtei Re'iyos. He has the same din of a Zav who sees 2 re'iyos, but he needs, after Tefillah, to bring a Karban of Shtei Torim O Shnei Bnei Yonah Echa Liola V'Echa L'Chatas Ayin Vayikra Perek Tezvav. Having said that, and having rejected the reconciliation of Rav Yosef, namely that even Rav Meir would hold that Zav is Chayv HaChatos for Hotzos Kis, the Rav Habnuna now has to offer an alternative suggestion as to how to reconcile these 2 brises. Ela Omer Rav Habnuna, Lo Kasha. Kan Vizav Bal Shtei Rios, Kan Vizav Bal Sholosh Rios. In the case of a Zav who has 2 re'iyos, he needs the Kis in order to check himself out, because if he sees a Re'iyah Shlishis, he'll be Chayv HaKarbon. As we said before, he'll have to bring Echad L'chash, Echad L'chatzah. And therefore, in his situation, it would certainly be considered Derech Hotzah if he wears the kiss. But the Bryce that says he's potter, that's talking about a Zav who's a Baal Sholosh Rios, and he doesn't need the kiss because he's already a Zav Gomor, he's already fixed in stone his chiyuv to bring the korban chatos viola. So now we go back to the normal way of carrying a kiss, and this is not the normal way. He's not using it for the there's no necessity to check himself out. So Gemara says no. Maishno zav bal shtei riyos dechayov. Why, in the case of shtei riyos, you're saying he needs to carry the kiss because miboyle lebdika, he has to see if his cesarea shlishis, which would generate a chiyuv karbon, is zav bal shosh nami miboyle. He also needs to check himself out, not to check himself out because of the chiyuv karbon, but rather to get himself out of the tumah with sphira in order to count zayin nikiyim. So that the day that passes is considered a day that's naki, and you can count it as one of the seven. If he sees one more time within the 7-day period of time, which are nikiyum, that's called stiras hanikiyum, and all the days that he counted are going down to the tubes, and he's going to have to start counting a new unit of 7 days of nikiyum. So he needs the kiss, and that's also derech hotzah. So we don't know how to make sense out of Rav Himnuna. Lo nitzcha, the Gemara says, bo bayom. We need the brisa that patters you up in a case of a zav bal shalosh re'iyos, lebo bayom. In other words, on that day, let's say it's Shabbos, and he saw the re'iyos shlishis. What difference would it make if he sees another re'iyos, if he doesn't see another re'iyos? It's irrelevant. He can't count that day as a yom naki. And if he sees a second Riyah on that same day, which would be, let's say, Riyah number 4, it would not make any difference because it doesn't add any tumah and it doesn't subtract any tumah. So that's called Bo Bayom. And if he sees on this day it doesn't add or subtract to his tumah, he doesn't need the kiss, and therefore he's potter for Altsah. Gemara Sakashav, Ami Boile, he still needs it. Kideshi Tonfu Kela, forget about Bidikas Ziva, that you're right. He already saw his third Re'iyah today. So on this day of Shabbos, there's no relevance to Tumah V'Tara if he wears the kiss, but he might want to wear the kiss for a different reason. Since he's already seen three Re'iyahs, he knows that there are going to be more Re'iyahs, he suspects more Re'iyahs, and he doesn't want to get his body dirty, filth, shall we say, he doesn't want the filth of Ziva on his begodim. So what does he do? He wears this kiss. And then he should be chay for derech hotzah. So once again, we're back to square one with the stira to the two brises, with a special difficulty on that brise who says that this zav is potur. Omer abzera, these brises, haitanahu, reflect the shita of the following tana, the Omar, who holds the following principle, kol latzluye mitinuf lo kachoshet. When a person wears something around his begodim in order to protect his begodim, it's not called chashiv. That's not enough of a chashivus in order for him to be chayev for meleches hotzah. Latsule, when he's just trying to protect his begodim, mitino from filth, lo kachashiv, that's not called chashiv. And therefore, motzi kiss lishmar al nikiyus begadim in aziva. If he's only carrying this kiss to protect his begadim, that he shouldn't get soiled, that's not considered chashivus, that's not derech hotzah, and therefore he would be potter. The Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah in Machshirin to prove that this is so. I wanted to share with you an interesting kasha, the Ritva. He says that if you're talking about a Zav who needs this kiss for Bedika, and the Gemara says in that case maybe you should be Chai for Tzah, it's Darko Bekach, the Ritva says Adarab. Just the opposite. If the Zav wears his kiss in that way, it should be considered Derech Malbush, he should be Mutal Hatzispo, instead of being Chayav for Melechas Tzah, it should be Derech Malbush. Like, for example, a woman who prepares a Moch, she's allowed to go out with a moch. So the Ritva is machalik that the sugya later on at Daf Samach Dalet about an isha nida who goes out with a moch, that's b'moch hamahudak yofesham, and she really needs it so that the dam would not be mitzar haguf. that's called Derech Malbush. But here we're talking about a case of somebody who wants to just protect his Bekodim from Lichluch. That's not Litzor Gufo, and therefore it's a Meleches Hotzot, it's not a Malbush. Now, when the Gemara says here that in a case of Shalom, Omar Abzera, Haitanahu di Omar, Kolat Sule Tinuflo Kachoshiv, what he means to say is, when he used the word Haitana, not there's a Tana who disagrees with that, because the Gemara then could have said, well, the two Brises are arguing about a Dovra Bola Hatzel and a Lichluch, whether it's considered Choshev or not. But rather, what he's saying is, Matzinu Tana, we find a Tana that holds this way. Dovra Bola Gakla Hatzel and a Lichluch is not considered Choshev. We don't know that anyone would disagree. Now, Motzi Kis, Lishmar al Nikius Begoda min Aziva, since it's not Machshivo, it's not considered Derech Hotzah, and he's Potter. Even though, again, it's Darko Bekach, but since he doesn't want the Hotzah Sakis, when he's carrying the kiss, for any other purpose except Lahatzil min Alichluch, that's not considered a Hotzah Chashuva, it's not considered Derech Hotzah. And the Gemara is going to prove this later on from the case of Kofa Kara La Kosel, Bishvil Shalo Yiskalkel Mimei Gishomim, that the Mayim is not considered Bechiyutan. And there, even though he wants the water to fall into a place that's Rochok Min HaKosel, through this Kara, the Kara is deflecting the water, but nevertheless, since he doesn't need the water, he's just trying to save and protect the Kosel from the water, that's not considered a chashivus, to be machshir peros with the water that falls on the peros. Here also, we're not going to be machshir the hotzah as a hotzah kedarko if the only thing he's interested in is protecting his begodim latzilon min alichluch. And this is the subject that Tosfos Divrei Maskil call. Disnan, how do we prove that saving something, protecting something from getting filthy, getting soiled, is not considered chashivus? The Mishnah Machshirin Hakofe Ka'ara Ala Kosel, right? He turns over a Kara upside down, and he sort of attaches it to a wall, and there's water that is coming down, Megeshamim, and hitting this wall, so he wants to protect the wall. Im Bishvil Shetudach Hakara, if he wants to clean off the kara with megshavim, then the nefila samayim is considered choshev. It's something that he really wants. Hareza b'chiyutan, the Torah says in the parsha of machshirin of liquids that a machshir ochel for kabbalas tuma. It says b'chiyutan mayim. What does the pasuk say? Let's read the pasuk. Chiyutan mayim al zera. Etc. Tomei hu lachem. So that's considered a chashivas. However, the im, if the reason he wants to deflect the water is bishvil, and here we're turning to daf yudbeis, omen alf shalo yilka hakosel. He's just protecting the kosel from the megishamim because of the lichluch of mayim. That's not considered b'chiyutan. It doesn't. It's not considered that he wants the megishamim. That it should be that he wants to collect the megishamim or use the megishamim in any way. He has no positive use whatsoever, intention for the mayim. That's not considered lichiyutan, as if the water was being pushed on onwards, forwards, and it fell on zera mirtzono. It's not his ratzon. So therefore, when the megishamim falls onto peros, it's not machshir the peros lekabel tumah. We see clearly that when a person wants something for a positive purpose, that's considered choshev. But if a person is only taking something or deflecting something, and in our case, collecting the ziva in a kiss in order lahatzel spagodami lichluch, that's not considered chashivus, that's not derech hotzah, and therefore he's potter. So the Gemara now questions the analogy between the case of a kiss of a zav and the case of the kara that he's placing against the kosel to deflect the mai. Mi dami hasam, in the case of kofakar al kosel, in order to protect the kosel, loka boiluhu lahani mashkin klal, he has no use for the mashkin whatsoever. He's not collecting the mashkin. So even if you're going to tell me that kfiya sakara is considered chashuv, and it's chashuv because he wants to protect the kosel, and therefore the desire to protect something from lichluch is considered a chashivas, here in this case of mayim to be machsha the zera, we need that he has some chashivas in the mayim itself, right? We want to make the mayim into one of the mashkim that are machshirim. And the kfiya sakara is not for the sake of collecting the mayim, he's only protecting the kosel. But hocha, here in the case of otzas kis, in the case of a zav who goes out on Shabbos with a kis, if when he wants to save his lichluch, he's machshiv the dover, then he's being machshiv the kiss itself. And as far as Meleches Machsheves is concerned, his kpeda gives it a chashivas of hotzah. Kaboilul hai kiss, he needs the kiss itself, likabule beiziva. So again, his ultimate purpose is to protect his clothing from the lichluch of the ziva, but he needs the kiss. The kiss is going to function as the instrument to be makabel the ziva, and that's going to save and protect his begadim from lichluch. The hotzas hakiss, therefore, is considered something choshev. Mashenki the mayim, and to set up the mayim as a machshir, you have to want something in the mayim. He doesn't want anything in the mayim. He's just interested in protecting the kosel. In Shabbos, therefore, he should be chayev because he's interested in hotzas hakiss, even though his interest in hotzas hakiss is for the sake of protecting his begadim, but at the end of the day, he needs the kiss. So the Gemara completes his kash, and it says that if, in any event, the Ratzon to of the Gemara, who was it? Sorry, get the name straight. The Gemara was Reb Zera. If Reb Zera was interested in making this analogy between the Hotzah Zavas Hakis and the Hechsher Peres and the Zrayim, then Holo Damya, if you want to make that equation, it would be a little safer to the safer that Mishnah in Machshirin. What does it say in the safer the Mishnah Machshirin? In the Mishnah Machshirin, it says Areva, which is another type of a kara of a plate. Shenisana Sheyere Delef. He wants to collect the Megishamim, which are seeping into his house. There's water that is leaking into his house. That's called a Delef. And this is a litocha into the areva, the kara. That's where he wants to collect the water. And now some of the water splashes out and lands on top of Zerek. Shenosna sheyere delef lisocha is mayim hanitozim vanitzofim. Tzofim means it floats on top when it gets really full, and then it pours out over the top. Is eino b'chiyutan, that's not considered b'chiyutan, because again, he doesn't want the water, he's just protecting his house from the leakage. So the Gemara now is midayik. Vishabesocha, how about the water that's inside the kara that was collected from the rainwater? Harezeh b'chiyutan. The Mishnah is very careful to exclude the status of machshirim from the mayim hanitozim, the mayim that's outside the kli, that spritzes from the kli or overflows from the kli, but that which is inside the kli, betocha, that's considered b'chiyutan. And even though the reason why he put the kara there is only to protect his house from the megishamim, but instead of turning the kara upside down, as we said, so that the water deflects off the kara, he left the kara in its normal way as a receptacle to collect a mayim. He has no need for this mayim at all, but nevertheless, since he wants the water so that it doesn't fall, he wants it inside the kli, then that's enough to be considered kiyutan, even though he has no need for the water. So too here, if he's carrying the kiss in order to collect the ziva, because he doesn't want, you know, the ziva to be malachlik his pekodim, so he has no need for the ziva itself, the liquid, but since he wants the kiss, and he wants to be makabal the ziva in the kiss, that's a hotzah chashiva, and therefore he should be chayav. And therefore we reject Reb Zera's reconciliation of the two brises, because Reb Zera wanted to be miyashiv the brisa that says that you are a potter in the case of a kishel zav by saying that he's not interested in the kiss, he's only interested in protecting his godim from lichluch. Well, in effect, you know, that makes the kiss, the fact that he wants to protect his godim, that makes the kiss into something chashuv, similar to the case of the water that was collected in the kara, the aziva, areva, in order to avoid leakage into his house. So we don't have the reconciliation of these two brises to explain why a zav hayotze bekis might be potter. I mean, we can understand why he's chayev, but why would he be potter according to that brisa? And if you want to distinguish between a zav of two rios as opposed to a zav of three rios, that's not going to help us either, because even a zav who has three rios, he needs the kiss to protect himself from lichluch, and that would be machshav dotzah. So it's still back at square one to be miyashiv the steer and the brises. Ella, here's the final conclusion of this Gemara. The bottom line, Abai v'Rav d'Amri Chavayu lo kasha. There's no steer between the two brises. Har Rabbi Yehuda v'Har Rabbi Shimon. We're talking about the sugya melacha she'netzricha legufa. So, for example, in the classic case of melacha she'netzricha legufa, he's digging a hole. He has no need in the hole in the ground. He's not planting inside that hole. There's no meleches charisha. He only needs the offer. And according to Rav Shimon, he's potter in such a case. That's called the melacha she'netzricha legufa, because the malacha of chafira was for the sake of the karka. That's called charisha, but here he has no need for this malacha. He's only interested in getting the dirt. He needs the dirt for some other purpose, but the hole is irrelevant to him. And Rabbi Yehuda says that chai from malacha she'netzricha legufa, he had full-fledged ratzon for this malacha, albeit for a different purpose, but we're not interested in motivation, we're interested in his desire to do the malacha. Here too, his ratzon was not for the ziva. He's not collecting any of the ziva. And he really doesn't have to go out with this kiss, but he does so because he's interested in protecting his begodim. But nevertheless, that would be a malach shen tzrich legufa. He doesn't need it for the carrying of the kiss per se. He has no use for the kiss. Just like in the case of chofer guma, vein tzorcha l'afri, he has no use for the guma. But yet he's chayv because he has full will for the chafir itself, and here too he has full will for the otzos hakis. And that price which says that he's potter in the case of a zav who goes out with his kiss, that reflects the shita Rab Shimon in malach shen tzricha legufa potter. So a zav who goes out with his kiss, this is considered a malach shen tzricha legufa. Again, he has no use for the kiss per se. That's not his interest here in otzos hakis. He's only interested in the begodim to remain nekiyim, and that's called the melach shen tzrich legufa. Just to mention, as we end the shiur, that Tosfos has a case later on in Daf Tzadi Dalet, melach shen tzrich legufa, in a case of hotzas hames, where he doesn't need the hotzah of the mess itself, he just needs to clear the bias from the mess. And that's going to be again a machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Our case of Hotzah's kiss in Azav is parallel to that case. He doesn't need the kiss. He has no purpose in Hotzah's kiss. His purpose is just to protect his begodim. It's like the mess, where there's no purpose in bimotzi the mess. He only wants to protect the place, the makom, the bias, where the mess is located. And here's where we're going to end the shiur for today. We're up to Daf Yud Beis Amid Aleph, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, which is approximately 10 lines down, even less, from the top of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph.